Hare Krishna. Reading from chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita as it is, text 7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayarpita manobuddhir mame vaishyasya samshayah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. Purport: this instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet Krishna Loka without a doubt. Hare Krishna. It is a great pleasure and an honor to welcome all the devotees and guests at our Sunday feast program in Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Today, we have chosen to discuss for the Sunday feast program on the topic of appreciation. We have begun reading from the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where we find that Arjuna asks 8 questions to Krishna. The answers, the first 7 questions and their answers are very tough. Like they say, you know, they go bouncer above the head. Very philosophical. And Krishna himself also takes the first 7 questions and finishes them off in a verse and a half. He's also not too interested in them. But the last question touches Krishna's heart. And he speaks the entire 8th chapter in answer to that one question which Arjuna raised. That question is, Prayana kale chakatham neosi nyatatmabhi. How can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So Arjuna is asking Krishna, knowing very well that the point of death is a very big examination, is a tough call. At that point, how will I be able to remember you? So then Krishna starts explaining that there is a glory for somebody who remembers him at the time of death. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasteva samshayah. If anyone at the point of death, antakale cha mameva, Krishna says, remembers me alone in my form of Krishna. Smaran muktva kalevaram, he will be removed from the cycle of birth and death forever. Of this there is no doubt. Definitely, surely. Yasti natra eva samshaya. No doubt at all. So now if one has to think of Krishna at the time of death, Krishna in the next verse starts explaining that the practice has to begin much before. like we were discussing yesterday, that when do we begin to dig a well? Of course, in Bombay, nobody digs a well. But it's in a forest, it's just a statement when they, which means, when do you start searching for water? When do you start digging a well? When you're thirsty? Or when you're already full of water? Generally, people think that when I'm thirsty, I should dig for a well. Simple. But if you dig for the well when you're thirsty, you won't have the energy to dig. Because you're already so thirsty. So when is the right time to dig for the well? When you're not thirsty. So in the next verse, Krishna starts explaining that if you want to remember him at the time of death, which is compared to having the thirst for Krishna, then the time is not at the time of death. You have to start planning much before. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti ante kalevaram tam tamevaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, whatever you are remembering throughout your life, tyajanti ante kalevaram, you will remember at the point of death. So the practice begins throughout your life, and then at the point of death, when you really need Krishna, you will be able to remember him. You cannot believe the sigh of relief that comes to Arjuna's heart. You cannot see it in the book. But in the person, when Arjuna hears this verse, he feels a great joy. He says, thank you Krishna for this information. Here is my bow, here is my arrow, I'm going to the forest. Because you expect me to remember you throughout my life, right? So I'll be able to remember you at the point of death. So I'm going to the forest, I'm going to practice meditation, and I'm going to fix you in my mind, and I'm going to remember throughout my life. So I'll remember you at the time of death, and I'll go back home back to Godhead. Hari bol. Arjuna is saying Hari bol to Krishna. Means he's telling to Krishna, Hari bol, and he's going away. Krishna says, 1 minute, Gita is not over. Come here. And then Krishna speaks this next verse, which we have taken up for discussion today. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Krishna turns the whole table on Arjuna's head. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Sarveshu is at all times, in all circumstances. Kaleshu is at all times. Mamanusmara, remember me, but yudhyacha, also perform your duty of fighting. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that if you want to remember me, then the process is while performing your duties, mamanusmara, you remember me also. Mai arpita manobuddhir, in this way you'll be able to fix your mind upon me. Intelligence also, buddhir. Mame vai sesamshayaha, and you will live within me. You will come back to me. You will attain me without a doubt. So in this verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna that the process of achieving samadhi, the process of remembering him, is not to go to the forest, is not to just give up everything and do nothing. But Krishna is specifically recommending that one must do one's duty and remember him. How easy or difficult is it? The natural tendency is that when we are absorbed in doing our duty, we forget everything else. And the tendency is that when we are remembering Krishna, we forget all our duties. Like people, when they come to temple, they say, bahut shanti milti hai. Achha mandir hai. What is that shanti? That shanti is forgetting all their anxiety-ridden duties in the world. So people, they say that when we come and see the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath, we forget all our anxieties of this world. And many times they say that when we go out in the world, we just completely forget Krishna. That's why we need to come again and again and recharge ourselves, no? So how is it possible to do one's duty and at the same time remember Krishna? Krishna is giving a very tough challenge to Arjuna. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his purport to this verse that to remember Krishna at the time of death is even more difficult. If we think that to perform our duties and remember Krishna is difficult, if life is tough, then to be able to remember Krishna at the time of death is going to be much more tougher. So Krishna is giving us an opportunity throughout our lives to remember Him while doing our duties as a preparation for the final examination. Like you have the prelims. Now you have pre-prelims also. Before you have so many tests before the final board exam. So every situation we go through in our life, whether it's a happy situation or whether it's a difficult situation, it's a preliminary examination to remember Krishna in that situation, so that at the point of death we will be able to remember Krishna. Because at death it is explained that the throat will be choked up, the pressure in the body will be so strong that the eyes will bulge, shake, and the brain functions will stop. It will be very difficult. So in that situation, if you have to remember Krishna, it's much easier to remember now. But we find remembering now also very difficult. And we read these verses and feel very happy. Okay, I have to remember Krishna at the time of death. And we pray to Krishna, Krishna, please remind me at the time of death that I'm supposed to remember you. And then we go out and we forget him. It doesn't work like that. One has to practice, practice, practice. And thus one will be able to remember Krishna. So that brings us to the topic of our discussion today. How can we practice to remember Krishna in our activities in such a way that we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death? What's the secret? What will help us? The secret is appreciation. That's the topic we want to discuss today. When we have a heart full of appreciation for Krishna, for Krishna's devotees, then we will be able to remember Krishna and remember His devotees' mercy. Where our intent is where our energy flows. Where our appreciation is where our absorption flows. In the 7th canto it is explained, Nate swarth gatim hi vishnum durashaya ye bahirarthamaninah andayathande rupagiyamana tepi sitantram urudam nibaddha. Nate swarth gatim hi vishnu. Ordinary materialistic people, they do not know that their real interest is Vishnu. That Vishnu is the cherished goal of their life. So because they have very little appreciation and attraction for Vishnu, where is their absorption? Durashayaye, durasha. Simply in hopeless hope to enjoy in this world. Durashaye bahirartha manina. And they think bahirartha, the materialistic objects of this world, artha manina, they're so valuable and they will give me pleasure and happiness. So because they do not understand the cherished goal is Vishnu, their absorption is not in Vishnu. Rather, their absorption is in the mundane pursuits of society, friendship and love to somehow find some pleasure here. Hum honge kamyab? Ek din. But that ek din will never come. That one raat also will not come. Because the fact is that in this material world, our absorption will remain in material objects. Unless that ek din is when we turn our minds, our hearts towards Krishna and start becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There's a very interesting pastime in the elaborately explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which throws light on how this absorption, how this appreciation for Krishna will create the absorption in our heart. This is the pastime of two great demons who were originally devotees, Jay and Vijay, cursed to become demons in this material world. They originally came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then in the Treta Yuga, they again came as Ravan and Kumbhakarna. In Dwapar Yuga, these demons were reborn as Shishupal and Dantavakra, and then they requested for extra time, some more time in the material world. They were actually destined to be here only for 3 births. But because they came to know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to appear in Kali Yuga, therefore they requested that we need to again come back in Kali Yuga to get the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So they appeared as Jagai and Madhai. Now the pastime is that Jagai and Madhai were basically Brahmins, Jagadanand and Madhavanand. But because of bad association, they developed all kinds of bad habits. They started drinking, liquor, smoking, looting people, beating up people, raping women, burning the houses, name it, and they had done it. Now we may say, well, so many people are sinful and so many people are demoniac. In the worldly estimation, yes. But their sinful activities were so huge that the assistant of Yamaraj, Chitragupta, his hands were paining, writing down the amount of sins that they had done. And Yamaraj explains that their libraries full of books were filled up. You know, there were pits full of books filled up, recorded of all their sinful activities. So that is Jagai and Madhai. What hope does Jagai and Madhai have to achieve the mercy of the Lord, to have appreciation for the Lord? Nothing. However, they still achieved the mercy. How? Why? Because it is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur that they never offended the Vaishnavas. They never offended the devotees. Although they did all kinds of sinful activities, still, sometimes when the devotees would chant kirtan, then they would also dance. We have this experience when we go for Harinam, sometimes some drunkards, because they are in an altered state of consciousness. Normal state of consciousness, it's very difficult for them to appreciate the Harinam party. But when they are altered, then it's little difficult for them to control their egos, So they just join the Harinam, or at least they wave their hands, they wave their pots also, bottles sometimes. We are also with you. Go on. So sometimes Jagai and Madhai, in their stupor of being intoxicated, they would sometimes glorify the kirtan party. It's a good singing. Sometimes they would dance a jig a little. So that created Agyat Sukriti for them. So they indirectly appreciated. And sometimes they would even call. They would hear, oh, this Nima is taking a kirtan party. So they would glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So that gave them the Agyat Sukriti. That was one of their qualifications. The second qualification was that Nityanand Prabhu decided to deliver them. So then the story goes forward that the first day Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, it was Haridas Thakur, they went behind Jagai and Madhai. And Jagai and Madhai became so angry, they started running behind them, that Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they ran away from that place and came back to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave their report that these two brothers, very dangerous. Of course, Haridas Thakur said, more dangerous than these two brothers who are drunkards is this drunkard Nityananda. In the sense that he is drunk in love of God, that he has no discrimination. He just sometimes jumps over some crocodile, slaps them and tells them, chant Hare Krishna. And I get scared, what's going to happen? Sometimes he runs into some cowherd boy's house and he starts milking all the cows, drinks up the milk and runs away from there, and I am an old man, so that fellow catches me because I am not able to run so fast. And he goes and catches some outcast fellow and requests him, please, I want to marry your daughter. And that fellow starts asking me, what is his caste, who is he from, where is he from, and then he runs away, and then I have to answer all these questions. So he says, very dangerous. And today he started preaching to this Jagai and Madhai, the most dangerous fellows in the whole of Navadvip. Somehow we saved our life and we ran back and came here. So then the conversation continues. And next day, Nityanand Prabhu, interestingly, brings Haridas Thakur right in front of Jagai and Madai for his evening class. His preaching program. Now, Jagai becomes very angry. Was it Madai who hit the pot or was it Jagai? One of them, I always get confused. You know, Madai hit the pot. Okay. So Madai, he becomes very angry at Lord Nityananda. And he says, how dare you tell me to chant the name of the Lord? Get out of here or I'll kill you. So Lord Nityananda folds his hands and requests him, please, please chant. So Madai becomes so angry that he takes his pot of liquor and he breaks it on the head of Lord Nityananda. Blood is flowing from Lord Nityananda's head. It's a painful situation. Lord Nityananda again folds his hands and tells him, what pains me more is not that you've hidden me this pot and I'm bleeding, but the fact that you are not yet taking the name of the Lord. Please chant Hare Krishna. So Madai decides to take another pot and beat Lord Nityananda. At that time, Jagai stops him. He said, wait. Look at the compassion of this person. He's feeling pity for us. He cares for us. His heart is overflowing with love. Wait. Of course, this news goes to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very angry. Sudarshan, Sudarshan. He invokes his Sudarshan, comes there and is about to chop off the head of both Jagai and Madhai because they've offended Lord Nityananda, hurt him. At that time, Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu tells Lord Chaitanya, wait. Do you know that Jagai was on my side? Yes, it is a fact that Madhai hit me this pot. But do you know that Jagai, he saved me. He actually loves me. He likes me. Please give him your mercy. This is the turning point. This whole story was told to discuss this turning point in the life of Jagai and Madai, which brought them to Krishna consciousness. The appreciation that Jagai had for Lord Nityananda's love, that appreciation in his heart was appreciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we want to remember Krishna while performing our duties. But how will it be possible? It will be possible only when we begin to appreciate Krishna and appreciate the mercy of Krishna's devotees in our life. So in his occupational duty, the occupational duty of Jagai and Madai was to beat people up. While doing that, Jagai developed appreciation for Lord Nityananda. This person, his heart is full of compassion. He actually loves me. And because he had that appreciation, Lord Nityananda noticed it and requested Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya forgave him. Now another very interesting thing happens. Jagai has become a devotee. Lord Chaitanya has embraced him. All the symptoms of ecstasy are overpowering to be experienced in Jagai's body. And Jagai is completely mad in joy. Madhai watches this. He has two choices now. He has the choice of still sticking to his demoniac nature, finding faults with Jagai, that you are my partner, you have given me up, you've joined the enemy's party, how dare you could do that? And he would be even more angry with Jagai, more angry with Lord Nityananda. Or he had the choice to appreciate Jagai. He chose the second one. He said, wow, this ecstasy you are experiencing is much better than all the ecstasies that I have experienced with you in the past. Means drinking and all kinds of stealing. Immediately he falls at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, Lord Chaitanya, whatever we did, we always did together. So he is as sinful as I am. Or I am as sinful as he. So if he has been given the mercy, then you please give me the mercy also. this logic doesn't satisfy Lord Chaitanya. Why? Because Madha has only appreciated Jagai, but he has still not appreciated Nityanand Prabhu. So Lord Chaitanya says that you have offended Lord Nityananda. If you fall at the feet of Lord Nityananda and he forgives you, then I will give you the mercy. So this is the conspiracy of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga. Now generally when we hear of the word conspiracy, we hear of it in terms of sabotage, or politics, diplomacy, yes. Krishna has done all of this to create appreciation in the heart of the conditioned soul. What is that word? Sango Pangasra Parshadam. Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Krishna, when he comes in Kali Yuga, how does he exhibit his conspiracy? This verse explains. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam. Krishna Varnam, he is always going to be describing Krishna. Tvisa A Krishnam, but his color is not blackish like Krishna. A Krishnam, he is golden. So he has come describing about Krishna with a golden hue, not alone. Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Along with him has come Sanga, his parts and parcels. Parshada, his devotees. They are his weapons. That's the diplomacy he's creating. The politics. He's come with all his weapons. For what? Yajna Sankirtana Prayer. So that the conditioned living entity in Kali Yuga can perform the Yajna of Sankirtan. Yajanti hi Sumedasa. The intelligent people will do it. Or as one devotee explained, when they do it, they will become intelligent. When they perform the Yajna of Sankirtan, Yajanti Sumedasa, they will become very intelligent. So how will they perform the Yajna of Sankirtan? They will perform when they get the mercy of the Guru and the Vaishnavas. Sri Nityanand Prabhu is the personification of the Guru Tattva. And here the personification of the Vaishnavas is Jagai. And some of us are compared to Madai. At least me. So, some devotees have appreciated the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Just like Jagai, very sinful background, but he appreciated the love and affection of Lord Nityanand Prabhu. That this person is burning in compassion to save me. Because of that, he gets the mercy of Krishna. And when we appreciate the devotees, rather than feeling envious, feeling jealous, trying to pull them down, when we appreciate, wow, they've got the mercy, I also need the mercy. That appreciation for a devotee and the appreciation of the Guru Tattva will inspire Krishna to give appreciation to us. That is Krishna's conspiracy in Kali Yuga. To create appreciation in the hearts of the living entities. Then we'll be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj of A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, would sometimes force this appreciation amongst his devotees. When two devotees would fight, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would bring both of them. You come here and you come here. He would tell one devotee to appreciate some good qualities of the other devotee. And he would tell the other devotee to appreciate some good qualities of the first devotee. That was his idea of conflict resolution. And it would be very difficult. Because when we hate somebody, all we see is their negative qualities. It's very, very difficult. Even if we appreciate, it's very superficial. But here, Guru Maharaj is sitting. In front of him, at least we have to make a show of trying to be a devotee. So then they begin appreciating. The other devotee begins appreciating. First devotee begins appreciating. And after some time, when their hearts are full of appreciation, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would ask them, so what is the problem? Now there is no problem. Now there is only appreciation. So, that's the way devotees raise from mundane consciousness of just being attached to the problems of this world to becoming appreciating Krishna's mercy, the devotee's mercy, and rising on a transcendental platform to be absorbed in Krishna. We find, even in the material world, that when people have no appreciation for Krishna, it's very difficult for them to appreciate Krishna's good qualities or activities. Like we have one national freedom fighter. He said that he likes Krishna's Gita very much. In fact, he would carry Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, and he would say that if the entire sky is full of problems for me, even if there is, if the sky is clouded with problems for me, I know that the sun of Bhagavad Gita will shine through it and clear all my doubts, all my misgivings, all my problems, and I will be happy. So this freedom fighter would say that Bhagavad Gita is the book that gives him the strength to go on and continue in his life. However, in the same breath he says that if Krishna inspired Arjuna to kill 64 crore warriors, I don't accept that Krishna. Now, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what did Arjuna do? He is the first student. He picked up his bow and arrow and killed all his enemies. But this person, he could not appreciate this instruction of Krishna because he was seeing from his own mindset. And he said, no, we should all be very non-violent. Bhagavad Gita is non-violence. If Bhagavad Gita, the end of it is violence, then I don't accept such a Krishna and I don't accept such a Bhagavad Gita. So they're contradicting themselves. Now when Uddhav, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is remembering Krishna's activities, the same Kurukshetra war, he is able to appreciate it from a completely different angle. Because this materialistic person is seeing Krishna's activities from a point of view of non-appreciation, from a point of view of his own ideas. So he's finding it very difficult to appreciate the war of Kurukshetra. But because Uddhav's heart is overflowing with appreciation of the Lord, he sees the war of Kurukshetra in a completely different light. Tathaiva chanye naraloka veera ya ahave krishna mukharavindam netre pibanti nayanabhiramam parthastra putah padamavyayam tat. Uddhav, he's in ecstasy thinking of the war. 64 crore people have been killed. There are rivers of blood flowing all over the place. And Uddhav is describing it as if it was a very beautiful painting. You know, there's a very beautiful scenery. As if it's like a heart-enchanting experience. Just imagine, there are rivers of blood. Crores of people have been killed. Ghastly. Like we had this 9/11 or 26/11. The papers are full of the photographs and people's hearts are burning with anger. Why do the terrorists do this? And here there are 64 crore people killed. And Uddhav is singing a poetry. He is describing it as if it's such a heartfelt experience. Tathaiva chanye naraloka veera. Oh, in that place. Chanye, all the kings of the world. Naraloka veera, the powerful fighters were there. What were they doing? Ya ahave Krishna Mukharavindam. Ya ahave Krishna Mukharavindam. They had the opportunity of seeing the beautiful face of Krishna. Okay, so on one hand, the occupational duties are happening. Like Krishna is explaining in this verse, do your duty and fight. But Uddhav is realizing that yes, occupational duty of fighting is happening, but more importantly, what's happening? These warriors are having the fortune and the opportunity to see the beautiful face of Krishna. Ya have Krishna Mukharavindam. Netre pibanti. Okay, they're not just seeing Krishna's form, they're actually drinking Krishna's form. Now, when do you drink with your eyes? When you have deep appreciation and absorption. The eyes, he's compared them to cups. Vessels which store the nectar of Krishna's beautiful sight. Netre pibanti nayana abhiramam. Abhiramam, their minds are in ecstasy, simply seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. Parthastra putaha, in that situation, when Arjuna's arrows hit into the bodies of those warriors, they become purified. Partha Astra Putaha. So because they got the mercy of the devotee, Arjuna, through his arrows, they get purified. Padam Avyayam Tat. Because of that purification and seeing the beautiful form of Krishna, they achieved the highest destination. So here is somebody seeing from their own point of view that Kurukshetra war was a ghastly nonsense. I neither accept Krishna and nor accept the war. And here we find a devotee explaining that even in that war, the most beautiful thing is happening. People are getting a chance to see Krishna's beautiful form, and they're getting a chance to get purified, and they're getting a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. What better benediction can be there than this? Like our Sachinandan Maharaj was explaining, that if you need to clean something, clean a dirty floor, then you need a cloth which has two qualities. One, it has to be pure, and second, it has to be wet. Because if it's just dry, then the cleaning will be superficial. So he compares the holy name to this wet cloth. Wet, pure cloth. And he compares our heart to the dirty ground. So when the ground has to be cleansed, and he compares the holy name to this pure, clean, wet cloth. So the holy name is pure, no doubt. Naam Chinta Amani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho. Fully purified. But it's also Rasa Vigraha. So he compares the holy name to be fully pure. But the goal of life is not just to become pure by the holy name. The goal of life is to develop the love of God. To become a Rasika Bhakta, madly in search for the love of Krishna. So the holy name is not only just clean, but it's also wet with ecstasy. Just like the cloth is clean, it will clean, but it's wet. It has a rasa, which will cleanse it completely. So, they became cleansed by Arjuna's arrows. But they also got pure bhakti for those who appreciated Krishna's form. And they went back home, back to Godhead. So we saw three examples. The example of Jagai Madhai. Of how a materialistic person, if he appreciates the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and then another devotee appreciates their mercy, then we can also get devotional service. We also saw the example of how materialistic people sometimes, from their own point of view, find it very difficult to appreciate Krishna and his pastimes. But devotees can appreciate everything that Krishna does. And therefore they become absorbed in Krishna. And then we saw that because of our own materialistic mindsets, if we sometimes start seeing faults in the association of devotees, then we have the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati formula. That we just bring them together, they appreciate each other, and then we ask the question, what is the problem? For a heart full of appreciation and love, there is no problem. In fact, we can learn this art of appreciation from Krishna himself. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is personally explaining how much he appreciates the devotees. Just by reading this and hearing this again and again, it will invoke a deep appreciation in our lives for the other devotees. In fact, that's probably the essence of Krishna consciousness. If we just live a life of appreciating the devotees, Krishna will appreciate us. And he will give us pure devotional service. One time Srila Prabhupada, he said that if you would just know who the person sitting next to you is, you would fall unconscious in joy. Because sometimes we see devotees so superficially, and we sometimes just take their external conditionings to be all in all. But Prabhupada said, if you would just know who this person is sitting right next to you, you would fall unconscious in ecstasy. So all we need to know is what is the glories of the devotees who I am associating with. in the Bhagavad Gita, there is this verse, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi sah. Okay, some very amazing personalities, Mahajans, are discussing this verse. There is Narad Muni who is discussing. There is Lord Shiva who is discussing. And I'm forgetting, there is a third personality. Three great devotees are discussing this verse of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. And they are not able to come to any conclusion. This verse says, apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. Even if my devotee, Krishna is saying, becomes the most fallen. Achar means activity. Durachar means bad activity. Sudurachar means the most abominable activity. Even if my devotee performs the most abominable activity, Krishna says, apichet suduracharo, but he continues his determination to perform devotional service. Bhajate mam ananyabhak. Bhajate mam. He is determined to continue his devotional service. How do I see him? Sadureva samantavya. Just look at Krishna's heart of appreciation. He's not seeing all the faults that the devotee has done. He's saying he still wants to continue devotional service. Sadureva samantavya. I consider him to be a devotee. Samyak vivasito hi saha. Because he's fixed in his determination. Now what's the confusion of these acharyas? These great personalities. The confusion is that if somebody is very sinful, sudurachar, how can that person have determination to perform devotional service? Because in the 7th chapter at the end, it is explained that yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanda moha vinirmukta bhajate mam ananyabhak. Only one who is free from all sinful activities, only that person with great determination can practice bhakti. Why? Because the weight of the sins on that person will not allow that person to practice bhakti. Like we know, Valya Koli had such a difficulty to even chant one name of Ram. So why was it so difficult for him to chant Ram's name? Because of the huge bundles of sins he had. So then Narad Muni said, okay, you chant Mara, 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 Mara. Conspiracy of Krishna. And then gradually, he became purified enough to chant Ram's name. Anyway, so what we are discussing is, the three personalities are discussing this verse. And they're wondering that if somebody is so sinful, how can that person be fixed up in devotional service, which Krishna is saying is very good, he's my devotee, I think he's a sadhu. So they are thinking, and they're not coming to a conclusion. So one acharya explains that at that time, Bhakti Vinod Thakur went to that place. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he explained the meaning of this verse to them. He said that this verse does not say that if Krishna's devotee is very sinful and is fixed up in devotional service, then Krishna considers that devotee to be a sadhu. No, that's just the literal meaning of this verse. The deeper esoteric meaning is that if someone is performing sinful activity, if Krishna's devotee has even fallen down to a sinful state, but someone appreciates that in spite of his fallen state, he's still trying his best to perform devotional service, Krishna considers that person to be a sadhu. Are you getting? It's a little subtle. If a devotee has faults, but still a devotee is struggling in devotional service, and someone appreciates, he's trying so hard to perform devotional service, Krishna gives devotional service to this person. Sadhu reva sa mantavya. I consider that person to be a sadhu. One who is appreciating my devotee in spite of all the faults that my devotee is having. In spite of all the difficulties my devotee is going through. So what is the secret to get Krishna's mercy? One who appreciates Krishna's devotee gets the appreciation of Krishna. And Krishna says, Samyak vivasito hi saha. That person is well situated. My devotee is automatically situated. But if you glorify my devotee, then you are well situated. So Krishna personally explains his heart. of what kind of affection he has for his devotees. And this affection that Krishna has for his devotees is the shining goal, the shining light which we want to achieve in our lives. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we find that Jay and Vijay have been cursed by the four Kumaras, and then the Lord comes over there and begs forgiveness on the behalf of Jay and Vijay, that I'm sorry. He tells the four Kumaras, there's a misunderstanding between them. The four Kumaras are not being allowed in Vaikuntha. Jay Vijay have stopped them. And the Kumaras have cursed that you will go down as demons in the material world for at least 3 births. So the Lord takes the responsibility on himself. My devotees, whatever mistakes a servant makes, it's not his fault. He's just a servant. It's my fault. It's the master's fault. That's the way the Lord takes the blame on himself. And he begs forgiveness from the Brahmanas, the four Kumaras. And he tells the four Kumaras that now that you have become devotees, I will chop off my own arm if my arm is coming in your way. He compares his arm to Jay and Vijay here in this pastime. That they have offended you, sorry. My person is not as important to me. I can chop off my own arm if it is coming in the way of serving my own devotees. So Krishna is showing how important devotees are to him, to the four Kumaras, by comparing his devotees to his own body. Sir, I'm ready to do that. See, in this world, generally, we are so attached to our bodies. Everyone is attached to their body. In fact, that's the most important thing in their life, because they think I am the body. One devotee gave an example that one time certain scientists, I think, or some people, they did an experiment. They had, or maybe they saw this monkey mother who was carrying her baby across the river. So for the love of the child, when the river water was rising, at that time, this monkey mother, she held the baby on her head because the water was rising and she was trying to cross the river so that the baby is protected. When the water rose more and more, she was just somehow trying to keep her higher and higher, the child. But when the water rose so much that she was about to drown, you know what she did? She put the child below her, used the child as a springboard and jumped out. So as long as our body is well, we can do anything for our society, friendship, so-called loved ones. But when our own body is in danger, when it's a question of life and death, then people try to protect themselves first. Because there's a deep attachment to our own body, because we think we are the body. Our existence is the most important thing to us. If I exist, only then my family members exist for me, no? If I exist, only then my wealth exists for me, right? If I only don't exist, then what is the use of all these things for me? But here, Krishna is taking it to the other extreme. He says, I'm ready to chop off my own arm. If my arm comes in the way of the service to my devotees. In the next verse, Krishna explains few more amazing reasons, experiences that he has in the love of his devotees. Yat sevaya charana padma pavetra renum sadya kshata khilamalam pratilabdha shilam na shrir viraktam apimam vichahati yusya preksha lavartha itare niyaman vihanti. The Lord continued, translation, because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Krishna is accepting that the dust of my lotus feet is so powerful that it can wipe out the sins of people all over the universe. But how has this dust of my lotus feet become so powerful? How? Because I am the servitor of my devotee. Because I am serving my devotees, therefore I have become so powerful that even the dust of my lotus feet can purify the entire creation. Number one. Sadhya kshata khilamalam pratilabhya shilam. And I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me. Na shrir viraktam apimam vijahati yasyaha. See, most people in this world are so eager to get some mercy of the goddess of fortune. People come for blessings also. Please give me some blessings. They go to the Ashirwad Baba. Give me some blessings. Let me get some fortune. Just recently people worship Lakshmi. The Lakshmi Puja. That's the only puja people do in the office. All other pujas they do at home. And they keep all the doors and windows open. You know from where she's going to come. So people in this world are desperate somehow to get, or the other, to get one glance of Lakshmi. One little bit blessing of hers. But here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not even interested in her. Because his opulences and his personal beauty is so much more than the goddess of fortune. But she is madly running after him. Why? She has all the fortunes herself. Because she is seeing that her fortune is in loving devotional service to Krishna. So how Krishna has become so fortunate that the goddess of fortune finds her fortune in Krishna? Krishna says, because I am the servitor of my devotees. Even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. So in this verse, Krishna explains two things. Number one, that the dust of his lotus feet is so powerful that it purifies the entire universe. How did he get the power? Because he serves his devotees. And number two, even Lakshmi Devi is madly running after him. Why? Because why he has become so attractive? Because he is serving his devotees. So this is the estimation that Krishna has for his devotees. Now these are kind of external glorification. How other people are attracted. The people of this world for purification, and even the transcendental world, even Lakshmi Devi is attracted to him. What about himself? That Krishna explains in the next verse. Naham tadami. Naham tatatmi yajaman havirvitane. Shochyad grita plutam adan hutabun mukhena. He is saying that I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers in the sacrificial fire. So people generally offer a lot of oblations in the sacrificial fire, hoping that Krishna will personally eat it. Vishnu will personally eat it. And I will get a lot of benefit from the Lord. But Krishna says, I do not enjoy those sacrificial fire offerings in the fire so much as I enjoy food being offered to my devotees. Because when my devotees honor this food, eat this food, it's as good as me eating it. So in the previous verse, he's saying how he has become so attracted for the people in this world. And even the Lakshmi. But here he's talking about himself. That my devotees are exactly like me. I love them as much as myself. If they eat, I eat. In fact, I get even more pleasure when it is offered to them rather than being offered to the sacrificial fire. Because that is also considered to be the mouth of Vishnu. And then, in the last verse, he sums it all up. Krishna is saying that I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy. And the water of the Ganga is the remnant left after my feet have been washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds, along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? So here Krishna is explaining that I am the master of Maya. When those three drops of water that washed Vamandev's lotus feet and came down as Ganga, Gangadhar, Lord Shiva was ready to hold that water. Because he knew that he will be purified by it. So if the dust of my lotus feet, the water that washes my lotus feet, if Lord Shiva is ready to hold it on his head, it's so powerful. How is it becoming powerful? Because I am ready to hold the dust of my lotus feet, of my devotees on my head. Who in this world will not want to get this fortune of getting the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee? So this is how Krishna appreciates his devotees. When we understand that and we start appreciating Krishna's devotees, then that appreciation Krishna will notice and he will give us the absorption to, in spite of doing our duties in this world, be absorbed in Krishna. When we continue doing that practice, then at the point of death we'll be able to remember Krishna, because our appreciation will have overtaken our heart, and then we will go back home, back to Godhead. So I'd like to end the class, in conclusion, ask this question: how to develop this appreciation for Krishna practically? How to develop this appreciation for Krishna's devotees practically? How to do it on a day-to-day basis in our regular lifestyle? Srila Prabhupada personally showed it by his example. When Prabhupada's disciples would be giving classes, Prabhupada would personally sit and hear those classes. Now it's very interesting that all the disciples of Prabhupada, how did they learn Krishna consciousness? From Prabhupada himself and his books. They had no other information about God, no other information about spiritual life, and no other information about the kingdom of God, other than what Prabhupada gave them. So whatever they are speaking, they are only quoting Prabhupada. They are quoting Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada is sitting over there and appreciating. Very good, very good. My devotees, my disciples are giving class. So to develop this appreciation in the association of devotees, one has to keep one's false ego aside. Specifically, one has to keep one's material identity aside. Our false ego is our material identity. I am so and so, I am so rich, I am so talented, I have so much intelligence, I have so many followers, I know what is the truth. I am practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years. All these egoistic ideas one has to keep aside. Just like Prabhupada, he was the guru, he was the guide for all the devotees, but he kept all those designations aside and he would appreciate the classes of his own devotees, his own disciples. So similarly, if we want to appreciate devotees, if we have even a tinge of pride in our own talents, in our own opulences, in our own ideas, then those talents, opulences and ideas will mask our appreciation of devotees, and we will just try to compete with them or find faults with them. I have this much and they have that much. I want this much more from them, and it will become very difficult to appreciate the devotees. So it is possible to appreciate the devotees when we try to fix ourselves in our spiritual identity. Jivera Swarupo Hoi Krishnera Nityadas. When we try to fix ourselves in our spiritual identity that I am the eternal servant of Krishna and the eternal servant of the devotees, and my only goal of life is to please these devotees by service, because I am a servant. I was discussing with one devotee and he was explaining to me that this concept of servant leadership is very much attractive to the people in this world also, because that's the best way to get a person to work. You know, Shamanand Prabhu was telling me that there was one devotee in the olden days, and he would, in our temple, now he's not here anymore, he would hammer this point of humility very much. You should be very humble. More humble than a blade of grass. 10 times trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. But from his activities, it was evident, I mean, Shamanand Prabhu was explaining to us that he was telling us to be the servant so he can exploit us. He's telling me to be humble so that I will follow him. But here the point is, we don't want to be humble or being the servant so that we can exploit somebody. Because when you serve someone, they'll open their heart to you. They'll be very eager to reciprocate with you. So the idea of servant leadership for the people in this world is, try to be the servant, try to speak sweetly,
Try to do things nicely for them
so that you can exploit them, so that you can lead them.
But here, Lord Chaitanya has informed us that our identity is Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nitya Das. We want to serve the devotees to get more service, not to exploit them. Nitya Das. Eternally we want to continue service. And we want to please the devotees through that service. So when we fix ourselves in that spiritual identity, keeping all our material egos aside, material opulences aside, material talents aside, only then we can appreciate the devotees. With that appreciation of the devotees, Krishna will appreciate us and he'll fill our hearts with mercy. When Krishna fills our heart with mercy, then that appreciation will grow more and more. And at the point of death, we will not remember any of our material pains. We will not remember any of our material pleasures. We will only be filled with Krishna's appreciation. And the appreciation of all the mercy that the devotee showed us throughout our life. With that beautiful mindset, when we give up our bodies, Krishna's promise will be fulfilled. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yap prayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshayah. Without a doubt, we will go back home, back to Godhead, to eternally increase this beautiful pastime of appreciating Krishna's beauty. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. With that, I'd like to stop here. If there's any one question we may take, or otherwise we will join for Kirtan. Is there any questions? Yes, but how will we hear you? There's one way back behind over there.
Hare Krishna. When we spend more years in Krishna consciousness, and over the years our appreciation has grown for the devotees, and there is a generalized appreciation, like say if I take an example of 1-to-1, like there is some devotee, I really appreciate him a lot, I like him, I love him, but over a period of years, since you come close to that devotee, and then it is said, you know, that the familiarity breeds contempt. And then when you really come close, and then there will be some incidences where your appreciation may either go down, or you may even feel some negative feelings for that person. That, but still, in that person's absence, you will always appreciate that, yeah, you know, he's a devotee. Because when you go out in the material world, and you are amongst the non-devotees, you know that you are in the wrong place. So, how does Krishna take such feelings, and where do we go with such things? Because since we are normal humans, this is going to happen.
Okay, let me see if I got your question. You're trying to say that when we are with devotees, we begin from the platform of appreciation. So, Krishna brings us more in the association of devotees. But after we come more in the association of devotees, we sometimes start finding faults, because familiarity breeds contempt. And then Krishna takes us again out of the association of devotees. Or for our occupational duty, we may need to go out.
Yes.
And when we find that, when we see the materialistic people, we realize that, hey, that association was much better. So how does Krishna see us? How does he deal with these feelings in our heart? Yes?
Yes.
Because we are just human, as you say. Okay. Yes, it is natural that when we live with somebody, see, when we are away from somebody, to respect that person is very natural. When we are with somebody, to find faults with that person is very natural, because familiarity breeds contempt. But to live with people and still have appreciation, that's the challenge. And Krishna gives us this challenge, this opportunity. Now, see, a challenge can be seen from two ways. from one point of view, the challenge can be seen, the test can be seen as the vengeance of a teacher to put me down. I mean, that's the general experience of tests that we had in school. That the teachers give us examination and then they have a good time, you know, to fail, or they just test our ignorance. Or another way to see the challenge is that it's an opportunity now for me to grow. Because unless I pass my 6th standard exam, I'm not going to be promoted to my 7th standard. So this challenge that Krishna is giving us, to be living in the association of devotees and still appreciating them, in spite of them breaking our expectations sometimes, in spite of them having their limitations, in spite of them not living up to our desires the way we want them to be. Are we getting? So Krishna is throwing this challenge to us again and again, so that we get a chance to raise ourselves from that being merely human to being devotees. Because we are human, and the natural tendency of a human being is to find faults in association. But Krishna is giving us this opportunity again and again. Live in the association of devotees and still glorify them. If we cannot do that, then it's going to be equally difficult to remember Krishna at the point of death. Because at the point of death, who are the people who we expect who will remind us of Krishna? The devotees. And if we are in that mindset of finding faults with them, it will be very difficult to fully appreciate what they are giving us. And the environment around us, our bodies are also going to be in so much pain. To appreciate Krishna's presence in that painful situation will also be difficult for us. So those are going to be very big challenges. Compared to that, these are small challenges that Krishna is giving us, which we need to cross to raise the bar of the appreciation that we have in our heart. So Krishna consciousness can be termed as a progressive journey of appreciation. If you want to test how much advanced we are in Krishna consciousness, then we can test based on how much appreciation we have for everything that Krishna sends our way. And every time we get a challenge where we are not appreciating, we should know this is a test Krishna has sent to raise my levels of appreciation for Krishna and the devotee's mercy in my life. So how does Krishna see it? He sees it as a test, he is giving it to you. Whether you pass or you or ATKT or you are allowed to keep term to pass again, that is up to us, depending upon how we want to appreciate that situation we are in. Is that okay? Oh, we can have more questions personally. Is it okay? Now let's appreciate Kirtan. You all have tolerated the lecture for long, but I think we should have Kirtan now. And if there are other questions, we can discuss them personally. Okay? Thank you very much for tolerating. Hare Krishna. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.